You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome, everyone, to the Father's Quilt. I'm your host, Christina Doyle, and it's awesome to be with you this first of September, the first week of September, and I hope that you're enjoying your Labor Day weekend. Here in Canada, we have the Labor Day weekend before the kids go back to school and with another exciting year in their new grade, a new teacher, and some kids have moved on to high school and some to college and university, and big changes in many people's lives, and maybe you're returning to work for the first time. Well, I wish you all the best and God's blessings upon you and your family. We walk by faith and not by sight. No gracious words we hear of him who spoke as none e'er spoke, but we believe him near. We may not touch his hands and side, nor follow where he trod, yet in his promise we rejoice and cry, my Lord and God. Brothers and sisters, what I want to share with you is the book of Isaiah. And if you would turn with me to the book of Isaiah, it'd be chapter 35, and it's verse 4-7. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For water shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. In the burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. Brothers and sisters, this scripture talks about the goodness of God, right? The goodness of God, right? So if we also look at Psalm 146, and let me just see, I had it right, here we are. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish. Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. Brothers and sisters, the prophet Isaiah speaks powerful words to a lot of frightened people. And we have all been very frightened people as the pandemic is still with us in various forms. And not knowing what tomorrow will bring. But to us, the prophet reminds us of God's goodness, the goodness of God who comes to save us,
a God who sees our pain and sufferings and promises, he promises that newness will come forth from this pandemic. Then we have the book of James, brothers and sisters, the book of James. So I'm just going to turn to that. And that is chapter 2. And I'm just going to get that ready. Hold on a sec, everyone. Chapter 2, and it's the first 5 verses. My brothers and sisters, do you, with your acts of favoritism, really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, "Have a seat here, please," while to the one who is poor you say, "Stand there," or "Sit at my feet," have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters, has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? Right? So, brothers and sisters, the second reading from the letter of St. James also speaks of God's goodness. It reminds us that God shows no partiality. And while we may judge each other by externals or by how we may benefit from them, our God judges by different standards. James reminds us that the poor, marginalized, and abandoned people are often closest to God. Not long ago, we had a wonderful deacon, Deacon Klinghorn, and he came and he would go and minister, and he still does, minister to the people of downtown Toronto in certain parts in the city where there's a lot of homeless and drugs and prostitution. And he just walks and they see him with his collar, and they approach him and they feel comfortable in talking to him. They'll even ask Deacon to pray with them. And just a simple prayer, it lifts up the soul. Don't you also, my friends, when someone says to you, you know, if you share something and you're going through a challenge and someone turns to you and says, "You know what? I hear what you're going through. I will pray for you." And just having someone say that to you brings such comfort, and it brings such peace knowing that more prayers are being offered up for you to our Lord Jesus through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. So how beautiful is that, that the deacon also offers up prayers to our Lord Jesus. Very simple, but those prayers bring a lot of hope and a lot of peace and a lot of comfort to those who need it the most, right? We always say, you know, we say and pray for those who are in most need of thy mercy. Well, you know, I know we are as well, but there are some who are in desperate need of prayer and of peace. And so, you know, it's wonderful that we realize that God doesn't show, he doesn't separate one from the other. So we see God's goodness in action as a man who is deaf and has a speech impediment. He's brought to Jesus for healing and taking him away from the crowd in a most intimate and caring moment. Jesus using touch, spit, a groan, and a prayer speaks powerful, life-changing words to the deaf man, right? And then he says to him, Ephatha, that is, be opened. And immediately the man was healed and spoke plainly. So disobeying Jesus' command of keeping quiet, the man and the people went about proclaiming the good news that Jesus does all things well. He makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. God indeed is so good. Jesus, powerful and life-giving words to the deaf man with the speech impediment, restore him to the community. The man who could not communicate his thoughts and feelings can now participate fully in the life of the community. From loneliness and isolation, he is now made whole. One can only imagine the joy he felt. So it's very important that we also hear these two words, be opened. These are two words that are a challenge for all of us, and they should be a challenge for all of us this week. The unnamed deaf man represents all of us, as we are often deaf to the voice of God, and we can't speak plainly the truths of his message. Therefore, it asks of us, in what ways do we need to be opened by God through Jesus? And one obvious clue comes from Jesus' location. We meet him in the district of the Decapolis, not in Jewish territory, but pagan territory, performing the miracle. Jesus crosses boundaries to proclaim the good news that God cares for all peoples. What boundaries do we need to cross to go forth and proclaim the good news of Christ? Is it the boundaries of religion, race, neighborhood, education, and gender? Be opened. Can we be open to beauty, goodness, and truth in a society divided by race and politics? Be opened to know that we can learn from each other, especially people who are different from us. And even though they may be different from us, brothers and sisters, in talking with many people, no matter what language they speak, what culture they come from, what color they may be, when the bottom line is that they really basically want the same things as you and I. They want to be happy. They want to be healthy. They want to have a family. They want to raise their children. They want to see their children prosper and their children's children continue prospering and being at peace and having faith in God, right? Everyone wants basically the same thing. And when we realize that all of a sudden people aren't so different from you, other people aren't so different from myself, that we have a lot more in common than we have that are not common. So always, I try, my brothers and sisters, to look for the good, and I try to put myself in their shoes. And part of it, I think, came for me from teaching children. And although I was a newlywed at the time, and I was teaching children with, they came from families of maybe 2-3 kids, who's had seasoned parents, you know, who are older, wiser. But somehow I put myself in their shoes, thinking that if this was my son or daughter coming to this classroom, what would I want my child to be doing? What would I want my child to learn? How do I want my child to feel? I want my child to feel happy and secure and safe and thrive and be challenged in learning and be excited. And that's what I always tried to, always kept that not at the back of my mind. It was always in my face, that if I were a parent, what would I want for my child here in this class, no matter which child it is? And every parent wants their child to do well in school. Every parent wants their child to be happy, to enjoy school, to learn, to feel confident, to feel valued, right? So it's so important, and to feel like they're part of a group, a family, not to be ostracized or separated or made feel different in any way possible, right? So that's very important, that we need to learn, that we need to learn from each other. So be opened to the complications of life and the reality that we can't always have easy answers. And sometimes we wait from God to give us those answers that we want, and they don't come through. But we have to believe you know, in Mass we say, you know, according to thy will, Father, you know. You know, we lift up our hands. Our Father who art in heaven, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, brothers and sisters, if we're saying those words, we really have to take a moment and think, okay, what does that really mean for me? It means that whatever I go through on this earth, that God knows what we're going through, and he's with us in celebrating, in being joyful, in being mournful at times, in going through suffering. Jesus suffered, brothers and sisters. He suffered for us. There is no greater suffering on this. No human being will suffer to the extent that our Lord Jesus Christ suffered on the cross for us, sinners, with full of ugly things in ourselves, whether we're selfish, self-centered, focused on ourselves, you know, lying, boastfulness, you know, covetousness, you know, all those nasty things. And yet Jesus died for people like you and I, sinners. We are all sinners. But we ask for God's grace, God's mercy to help us and to see us through and to pluck out all the nastiness in us. I often say that to our Lord. Take that ugliness out of me, Lord. You know, put a lock over my mouth. Sometimes I say things I shouldn't. Sometimes I really do put my foot in my mouth. And sometimes, you know, like that saying goes, less is more. How many times have I needed to learn that, right? So be opened to the voice of God communicating with us from places we least expect. Be open to experiences and truths of others that seem foreign to you. Be open to the voice of God calling you to people and places that make you uncomfortable. Be opened to ultimately receiving love and graces from God. Therefore, my friends, be opened. Being opened can be challenging. And I know it takes us out of our comfort zone. However, to grow and mature in the spiritual life, we must be open to the voice and power of God, who continually calls us forth to be our best self. The deaf man that was in the gospel received a great gift from Jesus, the ability to hear and to speak plainly. In the sacrament of baptism, the priest touched our ears and mouth and spoke the words, "May the Lord Jesus, who made the deaf to hear and the mute to speak, grant that you may soon receive his word with your ears and profess that faith with your lips to the glory and praise of God the Father." Wow. May we go forth, brothers and sisters, opened by the power of Christ to proclaim the good news for God. And I'll never forget, we had a parish priest in our church, and he was I'm not sure if he was from Tanzania or Nigeria, but he would say, first thing, God is good. And we would say, all the time. And he would say, all the time, God is good. And that is the truth, my friends. That is the truth. That's why, brothers and sisters, we always try to remember that it's, you know, we have to think about the goodness of God, the goodness of God. If you turn to Mark chapter 7. All right. Chapter 7, and it's verse 31. Chapter 7, verse 31. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee in the region of Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. And of course, in the book of the New Testament, in the book of Mark, you know, it goes on to feeding the 4,000, Jesus curing a blind man, right? Jesus foretelling his death and resurrection, and of course, the transfiguration and all of it. Anyways, brothers and sisters, I shared that with you because it's time to think of a new season, new embarking into a new beginnings. Usually September gives us that excitement, that's oh, it's another new season, you know, not to feel saddened that maybe, well, we know that winter is coming, but not to be saddened by it, but to say, you know what, life is good. We thank our blessings for Jesus, for dying on the cross for us. We thank our life for all that we've been blessed with in our life. And that's so important. And to remind ourselves of how good life really is. And I think that's so important, brothers and sisters. It's easy to get down on ourselves and feel that, what good is it? You know, what good is life? But it's amazing, and it's a beautiful life, and we should be truly grateful for our life here on earth, no matter what we've gone through. I know that our Jesus is waiting for us to come to him, because there is strength in him. God does have a purpose and plan for our lives, and his timing is perfect. And sometimes he's going to answer your prayers either with a yes, or sometimes he'll say no, and at other times he'll just say wait. And in either case, we just have to make ourselves by faith available for the rich reward that'll come when we wait for his prompting, because a spiritually frugal life is all about waiting on the Lord, because in waiting on the Lord, in the light of his sovereignty, there's strength to carry us on. And that's exactly what Isaiah 40, verse 31 tells us, that they wait upon the Lord that shall renew their strength. And then the verse goes on to say, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Well, we've been given this figure of speech or a metaphor in the latter part of this verse, they shall mount up with wings as eagles, for the purpose of showing us the working ministry of the Spirit of God, because it is He who lifts us up, and it's His energy and strength that sustain us, and as we abide in Him. Therefore, during waiting times of your life, there'll be those moments when you'll feel as if you're being tossed about like a football in a park. But in order to survive that sinking feeling of being tossed about, your faith and soul must be anchored in the Lord, so that while you are waiting, you can rest assuredly, knowing that God is the one who'll do the seemingly impossible on your behalf as you patiently trust his timing. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 tells us to trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not on thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Even when you read through God's word, you'll find that every time one of God's saints gained a victory, you'll see that he or she waited and trusted in the Lord. Therefore, we can likewise experience triumph in our lives, when we wait on the omnipotent creator of the universe to gather on our behalf. Because when we do this, well, guess what? We don't lose, do we? No. So if you want to look back on that one, that's Isaiah 40. Okay, Isaiah 40. So just remember what I said before. God does have a purpose for all of us. God uses the time to stretch our faith in him. We develop what? Patience. Yeah, not an easy word, is it? It sounds like an easy word, but it's much harder to do, isn't it? We develop patience, a fruit of the Holy Spirit, through practice and under trial. We can begin to feel satisfied as we practice this virtue. If God followed our timing, we wouldn't grow and develop in our relationship with God or with others. In the book of Exodus, we learn how long the Israelites had to wait for God to lead them to the promised land. God led the Israelites on the longer journey out of Egypt to the promised land, right? He could have taken a shortcut. There was a much shorter way to go, but he didn't do that. He didn't do that. Why? Because they weren't ready to place their full trust in him or his plan. So God knows that if we knew how long or what it takes to reach the end, we may tire or fall from his path for us. Not awful, but that's the truth, how we are. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1, we learn there's a time for everything. Seeing others around us experiencing fruitfulness while we are in drought should not cause us jealousy. We must remember that these individuals may have already experienced growth or difficult stages that we currently face, if we're to receive the bounty. Those words from Psalm 37 remind me to place my trust in God and in his desire to fulfill my heart's desires. Find your delight in the Lord, who will give you your heart's desire. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will act and make your righteousness shine like the dawn. Well, our jobs aren't to decipher what we seek will come to fruition. Our jobs is to continue praying and seeking the result, trusting in God's plan and asking him for the strength to participate in it. We can't give up and we mustn't give up, because God works things out in his own perfect timing. Well, my friends, that brings me to a close for this week, today. And I hope you are encouraged, and don't give up on God. Don't give up on your faith. Be strong in the presence of God and ask for his strength through the Holy Spirit, through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, maybe through a patron saint that you follow, maybe Saint Padre Pio, or maybe Saint Joseph. But do not give up, okay? Be strong. So with that, God bless you. And I look forward to being with you next time here on The Father's Quilt. Bye for now.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day. Just a single day.